Turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We will begin our reading in verse 10, and we'll read through verse 15. But before we jump in with our reading, let's set a little context for us. This is during Paul's second missionary journey. And at the beginning of chapter 17, he's arrived in Thessalonica. He has preached to them. But the response that he got from that preaching was not the desired response. They ended up chasing him out of the city, and he was forced to flee. And indeed, one of the brothers had his home assaulted in that whole fiasco. And then we get to verse 10, which tells us that they left and where they arrived. And so we'll pick up reading there. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10, hear now the word of our Lord. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him, with all speed, they departed. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. May he bless it to our hearts this afternoon. If I was to ask, what are the elements of worship? I have no doubt that there would be at least four things that we would immediately identify as elements of worship. We have singing, the singing of psalms. We have the reading of the word, the preaching of the word, and the sacraments, both the Lord's Supper and baptism. Now, this is a wonderful list, but there's one problem. It is missing an element of worship. It's missing an element of worship that our confession identifies as an element of worship. And that is the conscientious hearing of the word. You see, in our culture, we are encouraged to go about our daily lives. Whenever we listen to something, we are encouraged to listen in a mindless way. We are encouraged to listen to whatever the most popular music is, and whatever's at the top of the charts, that's what we should listen to. Whoever is the most entertaining speaker, that is the one that we should be turning on to give our attention to, even if they say nothing of substance. Or even if what they are saying actually goes against the Word of God. And in our day, in our culture, in our nation, it is often that whatever the culture puts out and declares to us in one form or another, listen to this, that message that is being promoted goes against the Word of God. And so, this morning, We are attending the Berean School of Hearing. Or to put it another way, we are considering the necessity of the private study of God's Word for the preaching of the Word. And so our focus will be on verses 11 and 12 primarily. Look at verse 11. Immediately upon arriving in Berea, they are described as being more fair-minded than the Thessalonians. And the reason for this fair-mindedness, pay attention, is because they received the word with all readiness. Other translations say that they received the word eagerly. Well, what's the big idea here? They were prepared. You see, studying Scripture on our own, privately, prepares us to readily receive the word. Last week, Pastor Williams exhorted us from Lamentations to begin our days with God's word, that we would start our day in the word with the desire that our lives for that day, one day at a time, would be oriented according to the commands of our God and Savior. So in order to be prepared to readily receive the word, we have to first be in the word for ourselves. Preparation takes time. Think about whatever your favorite sport might be. I know there's a lot in this congregation that enjoy basketball or soccer. If you want to be a good sports player, you practice. Whenever you don't have a game, you spend as much time on the practice field as you can in order to get better at that sport. Well, the same is true when it comes to worship. In order to be as ready as possible for receiving the Word of God each Lord's Day, we have to first be preparing for that event. We have to be preparing throughout the week to come before the throne room of God and to hear a word from God. Preparation takes time. But we're also fallen sinners, right? And so we don't always have this innate love for the Word of God as we should. And so that has to be cultivated. So as we dig into God's Word, as we study it, we cultivate a love for God and a love for God's Word such that studying it is no longer a chore. Studying the Word of God then becomes something we enjoy and that we look forward to. But the other reason that we are to study in order to be prepared, in order to receive the Word of God, is because it is the Word of God that changes us. Think about in John 17, Christ's high priestly prayer. And what he prays, Lord, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. And so then, in order for us to be changed from the inside out, it requires that we be digging into the Word of God. So do you study? Is this a habit that you have formed? See, it's important for us to read Scripture, but it's also important to study. And we are to understand that we can read without studying. We need to get into the habit of studying the Word of God and not merely reading it. You see, it's not a checklist where we have these to do and this is what makes a good Christian. Well, a good Christian studies the Word of God so I can mark that off of my daily to-do list. No, we study because we want to know God. We want to be more like Him. And the way that we become more like God and the way that we get to know Him is by diving into His Word. So maybe then you're asking, well, I don't know where to start. Where should I start in studying the Word of God? Well, our catechism really answers that question for us as well. Think back to question 3 of our shorter catechism, which asks, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. So then we can take the answer for that question and use that as our guidelines for studying. This isn't new. You've heard this before. Pastor Williams has often pointed out that this is a helpful way to get us into the Word and to give us some direction as we dive in. That helps us get to know God, but it also points us to the reality that if our life isn't being changed, if how we live isn't being affected, then we're not really studying truly the Word. Also, studying helps us to remember. We, during the school year, often have seminarians here. And if you ever hear that one of us seminarians are studying a particular passage, maybe we're preparing an exegesis paper, find out what that passage is, and then ask them about it. What you will find is that whatever passage they're writing their exegesis paper on, they know it very well. And so studying is a way for us to cause Scripture to dwell in us richly, as Paul exhorts us. As we study it, we get to know it. Think about whatever profession you may be in or may be pursuing. If it's cars and it's repairing cars, then as you study that, you get to know it and you know the ins and outs of how a car operates. The same is true, though in a much greater sense, with God's Word. The more we study, the more we internalize it, and the more we're able to reflect upon it. You see, singing is not the only way to cause the words of Christ to dwell in us richly. Studying of the Word is another way, and it is very helpful indeed. Also, encourage one another. How often do we get discouraged in our studies because we think we're not doing it right? Or we think we're not getting enough out of it? Well, one way that you can help with that is by encouraging your friends to take up the Word and to study alongside of you. Even if you're not studying it at the same time, this then provides a community in which you can go and you can be like, hey, I just learned this. I was reading from Psalms, the book of Psalms, and here's what I learned about Psalm 1 or Psalm 2, which also provides the opportunity to ask, what are you reading? What are you studying? And what did you learn? And so we can be encouraging one another as we take up this study of God's Word. In summary, we then are to study, take up the private study of God's Word because it changes our hearts. But we are also to take up the private study of God's Word because it equips us to test all things. We are commanded repeatedly to test all things or to test all spirits. Critical thinking is part of the Christian life. You've heard me say before that Christianity is a thinking religion. There's been a movement within the broader evangelical church that says that says that Christianity is anti-intellectual, that all you need is faith, and you don't need to worry about the rest of these things. But the testimony of Scripture is that time and time again, Christianity requires us to think. And not only does it require us to think, but the Bible, the Word of God, stands against all of the critical theories. And no matter how many come along, at the end of the day, the Word, God's Word, is still standing. So it, we could say it stands the test of time. All of the critical scholarship cannot go and ultimately cast down the Word of God. And that is because of who the author is. The author isn't merely some ancient Jewish scribe who studied a lot and penned some nice thoughts down. The author is God Himself, which is why its application continues to be relevant even for us 2,000 or more years after it was written. We have a responsibility to test everything. We have a responsibility to question everything. But the question that we ask is this: is this message, is this film, is whatever this thing I'm doing, is it in accord with God's Word? We can listen to music because it's got a nice beat, and we like the melody that goes with it. But then we can start thinking about and focusing on the lyrics and discover that the lyrics are actually wretched. They're bad. And it's encouraging us to go against God, to go against what our Lord has commanded us, and to instead adopt a different lifestyle altogether. But you know, it's not just the things of the world that have to be examined critically. It's also sermons. Sermons have to be examined. Look at verse 11 again. So the Bereans are called more fair-minded because they received the word with all readiness. And then it says they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Well, what is the these things that it's referring to? It's the preaching of the word. It's the content of the sermons that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were delivering. The Bereans were critical of any message that might come along that would be contrary to the word that they studied. In a lot of ways, it's the congregation that ends up being the last line of defense against unorthodox theology, against a liberal Christianity that, as some theologians have said, is really no Christianity at all. You see, it's our responsibility as we sit under the preaching of the word to be thinking about what is being said and examining, is this in line with Scripture? But if we're not studying Scripture, if we're not digging into the word for ourselves, then we really aren't equipped to know if the pastor, if the preacher is being faithful to the Word of God in the content of their sermons. This also means then that any time you hear someone preach, you hear someone stand in this pulpit and they say something that you don't understand or that doesn't sit right, you have a responsibility to go to them and say, hey, I didn't understand this. I need you to explain it. Because it might be that they're actually promoting a false doctrine. God forbid. But that might be the case. But it's It's also very possible that it's not actually false doctrine that is intentionally being promoted, but perhaps they didn't communicate it as clearly as they wanted to. We're all different, so what's clear to me may not be clear to you. And so anytime you hear something in a sermon that you don't quite understand, write it down and make a beeline for the preacher afterwards and say, I need help. I need help understanding this point. We have to be critical of our entertainment. We have to be critical of our sermons that we listen to. And a criticalness that is focused upon being faithful to the Word of God. So private study, we could say, it helps equip our heads. So it helps prepare our hearts and it helps equip our heads. But then finally, private study prepares us to obey. Look at verse 12. So they've received the word in verse 11. They received it with all readiness. They searched the scriptures to make sure they're true. And then verse 12, we are told that the Bereans, many of them believed. So they searched the scriptures and they found that the message being proclaimed was true, is true. And then there's one requirement then. If you hear a word from God, you're required to respond. And the response is a response of faith. It's the response of obedience. You see, all the theology in the world, all the studying that can be done, it's ultimately fruitless if we don't have an eye to how to live, which is really the genius of our catechism, of our Westminster Standards. And that's how you know that they were crafted by pastors. Because there's an emphasis on what am I to believe, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on to, okay, here's what I am to believe. Now, how am I to live in light of that belief? If sermons, or I should say, since sermons are the very word of God, which ironically we find Paul saying that to in his letter to the Thessalonians. You know, the Thessalonians, who he essentially describes in our text here as being less fair-minded. He says in his letter in 1 Thessalonians that they received the preaching of the word, not as the word of man, but as it truly is the word of God. So since the preaching of the word, insofar as it is faithful to Scripture and grounded in Scripture, we have an obligation to obey. If we call ourselves Christians and somehow think that God can speak to us and we don't have to listen, then either we don't understand what it means to be a Christian, or we're not a Christian. That's really what it boils down to. Christian simply means a follower of Christ. And so if you're not following Christ, then you can't actually be a follower of Christ. We have an obligation to obey the preached word, at least any time that it is faithful to the word of God. And since this is our obligation, we must then develop a habit and a lifestyle of studying God's Word so that we can know and know beyond the shadow of a doubt anytime we hear a sermon whether it is faithful to God and His revealed Word or not. Do you study? If you haven't, well then take this as God calling you to study His Word. Especially if you have professed Christ. But if you have not professed Christ, then take it up and study. God's Word goes forth, as we read from Isaiah 55. And whatever He sends it forth to do, it will accomplish that purpose. Just like when He sent Christ to save His elect, Christ could do nothing but save the elect. Let's pray.